blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 247, stanzas 1 through 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 1 through 6 of Psalter number 247.
Before the hill.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 30. Matthew, chapter 25, the first 30 verses. But first, we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast given unto us this thy eternal word and everlasting testimony, amidst all that changes day by day and moment by moment in this world, a word which will never change, but that endureth forever. And thou dost say therein that there shall be a weeping and there shall be a gnashing of teeth. Lord, thou knowest the heart and the life of each and every one of us. Then it is our concern for ourselves, and it is our concern for one another, that we do not have to endure all the misery and the affliction and the pain that comes upon us in this world. Then we are looking also to one another to give relief from time to time unto those who have to experience in a greater way the results of our sin in this life. But we have no impression of that which is coming in that never-ending eternity. No impression of what thou dost declare of that worm that shall never die, and of that gnashing of teeth that shall be the portion of each and every one who must die in that same state in which we are born. Lord, we are so careless. We go over this world with the concerns of this life, but we have no impression of the needs for another life, because we are created not to die, but to live. And we are born to die, but our soul that shall live forever and forever, and our body also that shall be raised from the dead in that great and that terrible day, to be joined unto our a soul, that it may be united in that place of everlasting bliss, or in that place of everlasting condemnation. And Lord, in this life that is such a little time, that we have sung of it also together, how that it is but a short breath, that in just a little time we go through this world and we enter into that never-ending eternity. One generation comes, passes away, and another generation cometh. Oh, give us then an impression. It is thy Sabbath day. It is a day that thou hast given, that we may put away all the thoughts of the time, all the thoughts of the world, all the cares of the world, even in an outward way, when we are called to make good of those talents which thou hast given us in this life, to trade with them in honesty, in diligence, and in faithfulness. But thou givest us today a day wherein we may place it all to the side, and when we may look back in our own life, and when we may look back upon our creation, when we may consider from where that we have come, and that we may consider where we are going, a day when we may stop for just a moment, that we may rest for a little while from all the cares and the concerns, and that we may consider the need that is lying upon our poor soul. But Lord, it is by nature a day that is nothing to us than a burden because we cannot follow in the ways of the world, a burden because we have no desire to pray, a burden because thy word that has no place in our heart, and that thou also hast no form and no comeliness unto us. And thus we go from the day that we are born, even unto the day that we do die, unless that thou wilt come, all we beseech thee, on this day that thou hast set aside for us, that thou would come also unto us, and that thou would open the windows of heaven this day and pour out upon us an undeserved blessing. Oh, that thou would show forth thy might and thy power this day in the midst of us as an undeserving people, as a people that have in our hearts nothing but the world, and that have nothing but the cares of ourselves, a selfish care for us and for our children. And we have no care for the honor and for the glory of thy holy name, that blessed and good purpose for which thou didst create us. Oh, so fallen away from that original purpose. Lord, open it unto us. Oh, make us ashamed this day when we may see only a little bit of thy great goodness, thy long-suffering mercies to such a wretched and a miserable creature such as we are, each and every one of us. Give us a true repentance. Oh, give us, oh, plant in us a desire after thee, who has made us and who givest us everything, not only to endure this life and to come through it, but also when thou makest with us a difference and with so many that are in this world, and thou givest us a day, and thou givest us thy house, and thou givest us thy holy word, and that we may come together, and that we may consider together a little while that which is for our eternal welfare. Oh, that it may not testify against us in that great day of days that we have read together of. Lord, oh, we have no desire and no need in our hearts to have oil in our vessels with our lamps. Oh, we have by nature a form of religion, and maybe it is even burning so brightly as so that no one in this whole world can tell what a hypocrisy that is lying in our hearts. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, thou knowest the secret things. There is nothing that is hidden from thee. And when that light is burning amidst this world, and when we live as a Pharisee and as a hypocrite, which is in the life and in the heart of each and every one of us, oh, then we beseech thee, Lord, could it please thee this day to undeceive us
and to give us for the first time to truly smite upon our breast and to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, leave us not to go on our way. Oh, what an awful thing it shall be to stand before that closed door that we have read of, and then to have our children on our right and on our left hand, to stand behind that door that is forever and forever shut. When we have led them by the hand, even on thy Sabbath days, to thy house, Lord, wilt thou make us faithful as parents? Oh, forgive our many, many sins and our many shortcomings in that great and responsible task. And may thou convert our children, and despite what we are, oh, do look upon them and give them in their youth a desire after thee, and give them that love in their heart that may burn even as it burned in the heart of those men that walked to Emmaus. Lord, give them a fleeing from all the wretched world and all that will lead to that eternal separation from thee. Oh, show to them how vain and how carnal it all is, and that as we have come naked in this world, so we'll have to leave it. Oh, that we may seek that blessed treasure that is above, where thou dost sit at the right hand of thy Father. Lord, wilt thou look on all thy people, O thou who knowest each and every one of them, and thou knowest the burden that lies in their heart. And because it is a Meshech that they live through here below, oh, it is not the rest and that thou hast laid away for thy people, and it shall not be, no, and not to the last breath, then it is that in all this world they will have to suffer the affliction and the persecution and the tribulation, which is the portion and the lot of thy true church. But, oh, may thou be near to them, Lord, then they have everything. Oh, then they have their only comfort in life and in death, amidst all the sorrows and all the disappointments that are here below. And oh, do give them, when they cannot measure up to thy law, and when they cannot cleanse themselves, and when they are not able to make it right anymore between them and thee, oh, that thou mayst show them a little bit of that blessedness of thy dear Son, and what thou hast done to bring unto thyself such a wretched, such a miserable, such a hell-worthy people. Lord, instruct them more and more in the blessedness and in the freeness of that sovereign grace, and make thy dear Son, oh, to be exalted to the highest in such wretched hearts. Lord, look upon us all together. Be with all the sick and the afflicted ones. Oh, we may see here also in this morning him whom thou hast brought again into thy house. He laid in the hospital, and Lord, thou hast brought him home, and thou hast given him strength to be with us in this morning. Oh, give him a heart that may acknowledge thee in truth with his dear wife. And wilt thou give him further health and strength in his body? And oh, that it may be that in this day he may receive also, and not a natural but a spiritual blessing. Lord, look on the child and that is at home waiting, still for testing. Wilt thou give health and strength? Wilt thou give solution to all the difficulties? And remember him for body and soul. Help the parents be with all that are afflicted and sick, and that need thee in special ways, all widows, widowers, and orphans. Oh, help in all the misery, affliction, and tribulation that is in this world. Oh, use it, Lord. Use it for the good of our souls altogether. Wilt thou look on us as a people also, whom thou hast blessed in such a rich abundance, with all that is necessary for this life, when thou hast given an abundance of rain, poured it out from the skies, that it may be as a drink to all the fields, and when thou dost give warmth and sunshine, that the plants may grow, O Lord. Oh, what a wonder, what is man, that thou lookest upon us. Oh, do give us a place in true and utter humility at thy blessed footstool. Oh, that our hearts may be broken under thy blessings, and that thou mayest not have to break them under thy judgments. But wilt thou come and wilt thou melt us this day? And wilt thou show to us that great contrast between thy goodness and our sin? Oh, that we may be broken to pieces, and that we may sink away under all thy wonders, and that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance. Lord, wilt thou go before us, and all of thy sent servants that thou hast truly sent into this world. Oh, we are so helpless. We have nothing, and we can give nothing. We have in ourselves only sin, and we can bring forth nothing that can be a blessing to this people. Lord, remember us. Oh, to whom else can we go? We are dependent upon thee, and everyone whom thou hast truly sent to preach thy word. Oh, we beseech thee. Wilt thou come then, even in the last days, to bless thy word and to give, that in the midst of this world there may yet be experienced the power of that Pentecostal Spirit to go forth for the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and for the crying out, carry me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded. And that there may be place for that balm in Gilead, for which that people will begin in a little way to magnify thy name and to sing that song of Moses and the Lamb, which will continue to that never-ending eternity. Lord, glorify thyself in the midst of us, we beseech thee. In the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 262, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. He has wrought salvation, He has made it known. And before the nations is His justice shown. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 262, all stanzas. Thank you.
And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And what were they doing? They were sleeping. No, not literally. But it is midnight, not literally. That is, that it is coming as a great surprise. They were busy. They were busy here, they were busy there. All the needs, all the cares, all the concerns that were in this world. They were using their talents. It was lawful. And suddenly, as it were at midnight, suddenly, there was a cry made when they were least expecting it. What a beautiful day, is it not, boys and girls? What a beautiful day. The sun is shining. There is not a cloud in the sky. The wind that is so still. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? When all of a sudden, when in the midst of all our expectations for the future, you have thoughts what you do today. We come again together. Tomorrow, next week, but when all of a sudden, unexpectedly, then you would hear a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So it happened. It was now 17 years ago, I believe. Young man, he was on his way in the morning, on his way to his place of labors, and full of expectation, girlfriend, soon to be married, and today, children, they were all waiting for him in the classroom. You knew him. 17 years ago, it was a day congregation like today. These days, they bring us back to that day so often. Children, all waiting for teacher, and never came, would never come, because in one moment, full of expectation, then he has heard a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Congregation, how shall that be for us? Let us consider with the Lord's help this morning, Lord's Day 19. Lord's Day 19, questions 50 through 52. Question number 50. Why is it added and sitteth at the right hand of God? Answer, because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, and that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Question 51. What profit is this glory of Christ our head unto us? Answer, first, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us his members. And then, that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Question 52. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? answer that in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for this very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. So far, our Lord's Day. Christ, sitting at the right hand of God, first, as head of his church, second, as king of his church, third, as judge of his church. Christ sitting at the right hand of God, first as the head, second as the king, third as the judge of his church. He sitteth at the right hand of God. That is actually an image. That is actually for our understanding. That is because we are so lacking understanding that the Lord is giving to us an image of the things that we may see in this world, that we may have a little bit of an understanding of him and who he is. A congregation, when the Lord is so condescending to us to give us such an image, then we also have to give an account of that image that he is portraying for us, because then we may know something about him, and then we are accountable for that knowledge. And it says that he is sitting at the right hand of God. That is a very special place. That is a place of honor. That is the place, boys and girls, young people, the place that Solomon gave to his mother. Do you give that also to your mother? The place of honor? Or do you speak to your mother in an unfitting manner, as you ought not to speak to her? Solomon, he gave her the place at his right hand, that placed the greatest place of honor that he could have given to his mother. Benjamin, we read, was the son of the right hand of his father Jacob, thus a special place, a place of power, a place of dominion, a place of government. David speaks about the saving strength of his right hand, and that is now the place that God has given unto the Lord Jesus Christ, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only here in this world, but also in that world that is to come, that is far above all of the angels and in might and dominion over every ruler that is in this world, over every magistrate that is given to none other. To which of the angels did he say, sit thou at my right hand until I will make thine enemies thy footstool? Also God's people, they shall receive a place with the Father in heaven, but they shall not receive that place of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head. We can read in the Word of God that this place where he is sitting, where he is existing, that is described to us in three terms. That is, by the terms is, by the term sits, and by the term stands. Thus, we read who is, even, at the right hand of God. He is there with his existence. He is there with his being. He is there in his person. But then we also read that he is sitting. Jesus sat down, we read, on the right hand of the majesty on high. To sit, that is a posture of rest. And then he shows something of his rest from his mediatorial labors, that is a finished work of meriting salvation. But that posture of sitting, that is also the posture of a king. The king sits upon his throne, and there the king only gives orders. He only speaks one word. He has dominion, and everyone has to listen to him. When he is saying to one, he goes, and he says to another, and then he comes. He is sitting. He sat down on the right hand of God. That is a place of a perpetual existence. That means that he will remain there forever. And that is his final place, his final dominion. Finally, we read that Stephen, and then he saw him standing, we read, at the right hand of God, thus standing. What must we do when we are sitting? And we will quickly come to the rescue of someone, then we must stand. Then we must get ready. And so Stephen saw him. When the enemies are all about him, and when the hatred and the malice of and the enmity of that enemy that is being experienced in his own heart and life, then the Lord is standing. He is standing ready to come to the aid, to come to the protection of his own church. Thus, a posture of activity. So we see that the Lord instructs us concerning that place and that work of Christ at the right hand of his Father. For this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. So there he appears. He appears as the head of his church. That was not always so. No, he did not always appear to be the head of his church. There was a time that he came and humbled himself. And he appeared in this world as a servant. When he came into this world, then he was despised. He was rejected of men. All his disciples, they forsook him and fled. Then he did not appear to be the head of his church when he gave himself into the hands of the enemy. Then it did not appear that he was the head of his church when he was laying in the grave. And that enemy is rejoicing and saying now he is lying and he shall rise up no more. But in sitting at the right hand of God, then he is appearing as the head of his church. We've spoken to the children in this week that not everything in this world is as it appears to be. There is so much that is covered. There is so much that is hidden. There is so much that is not revealed. The Lord Jesus is mighty. The Lord Jesus is so powerful. How did it look when he was on the earth? It looked on when he was on the earth most of the time like he was so weak and like he was so helpless. That he had to flee away, that he had to hide himself from the Pharisees and the scribes who wanted to take him and to kill him. He appeared on this earth as poor when he was rich. I was for God's people. Oh, they also appear as poor. It is not manifest yet that they are the most rich young people, that they are the richest people in this whole world. That is not manifest yet, because we can't see their inheritance. No, the inheritance of many people in this world that is brought to the foreground in the way that they live, in all the things that they want to buy, in the luxury that they want to have. But the riches of that people that you can see. No, that is an inheritance. That is an inheritance that is laid away. Maybe also in a spiritual way. In a spiritual way that God's people, they appear to be so poor. When there are so many people who have on them who take upon themselves the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they appear, young people, they appear to you to be so rich. They have faith. They can believe, and then you talk to God's people, and they seem to be so poor, and you say, what kind of religion is that? Oh, be careful. Be careful, because everything is not appearing as it really is. Oh, in this world they are lowly, Mephibosheth. But look now at that place that Mephibosheth may eventually receive. That man had broken legs, and he could bring himself nowhere. He had to be carried everywhere he went. That is the portion of God's people. But look at the blessed place he received. He received the blessed place at the table of the king. And when he cannot come there himself, the king says, you will sit there. You will sit there at my table day by day. And when you can walk, I will have you carried there. God's people. No, it does not appear. It does not appear like they are the richest and the most blessed people in this world. Sometimes it appears like the Lord has forsaken them. Sometimes it appears like they are completely defeated by the enemy. Look at Naboth. That was a righteous man. And the evil has had dominion. Is that right? No. Oh, blessed Naboth. Delivered in one moment from all his enemies and everyone that could do him harm. Because he was taken up in one moment. Oh, then there was a cry. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye forth to meet him. And then he may meet him. Or we can read in the book of Revelations about the two witnesses, the two servants of the Lord, a picture of his true servants in the end of this time. And they are hated by the whole world. Why? They call the judgments of God upon this world. Why? So they may be miserable? No. Read it. Revelations 11, I think. But so that the Lord may bring his chastisements upon this world, that he may have dealings with this world, that this world may turn from their sin and repent. And what do we read? That beast from the bottomless pit, that beast has dominion over the servants of the Lord. So that they have to die. And their dead bodies, they are not suffered to be laid in the grave. But the world rejoices. And they are sending gifts, presents to one another. God's children, God's servants, they are slain. We will never be tormented by them again. They cannot call the judgments of the Lord upon us anymore. Oh, then it seemed, it appeared to be that the devil had dominion. And it was not so. 3.5 days. And their bodies, they have resurrected again. Oh, Christ. Now appearing to be as he truly is, that he might appear as head of his church, a representative at the right hand of his Father for the sake of his church. O people of the Lord, how far away are you from God? You say, it is so far. No, it is not so far. Because he is sitting next to his Father. Oh, how close is the head of his church to the Father. And that head always connected unto the body of that church. We have to go on. Our second thought. He is sitting, we read, as king of his church. What profit is this glory of Christ our head unto us? Answer first, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us his members. And then, that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Congregation, it is not only in heaven, but the prophet is experienced here upon this earth. Our instructors say, by whom the Father governs all things, and that especially here on the earth. The administration of the government of God over this whole world, and then for the sake of his church, that is put into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was always in his hands, in the sense that he is God. Thus it was always in his hands as the divine being. But it was not always in his hands as the mediator. Thus, as the mediator, then we read how that the Lord Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It was given to him. That is, in that special work that he was sent out to do for the reconciling of that church unto himself. And when he has merited everything for that people, then the Father has given him a very special power. Paul says that all things work together for the good of them that love God, for them who are called according to his purpose. How is that possible? Is that hard, boys and girls? Is that a hard question? That's not a hard question. How is that possible? If there was a king in the world, then he would make sure everything that was for the good of those that served him. But we speak here not about an earthly king, but about the heavenly king. Thus, that is a simple answer. Then he is guiding everything in this world for the good of his own church. By his Holy Spirit, he pours out heavenly graces upon us, his members. That is not only that their bread and water, and may be sure, David says, I was young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Thus, it is not only for these earthly things, but our instructors also say, heavenly graces. That is, spiritual blessings. Is there a blessing in this world greater, congregation, than a spiritual blessing? Heavenly graces. Grace, that is, to whom you know it, to the unworthy. Heavenly graces. What does that mean? Poured out of heaven. Out of heaven to those who are unworthy. Who can comprehend it? Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high and who humbleth himself that he may behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, not only the great things but also the small things. Heavenly graces. What are they? Love. Love. Love to God. Love to a God who is against me because I have sinned against him. Is that not a heavenly grace? Desire. What is your desire? What is your longing? Is it not after this world? That is what lies in our hearts. Desire. Desire for him. O congregation, is that not a heavenly grace? Lydia, that she attended unto those things that were spoken of Paul. Is that not a heavenly grace? Do we attend? Have we ears to hear of ourselves? Lowliness, humility, bowing before God and men. Have we that ourselves? An uncovering self-knowledge to be made honest. Is that not a heavenly grace? Confession, an acknowledgement of mine iniquity, and that God is so right and God is so just to deal with me as I so justly deserve. Is that not a heavenly grace? Or can you come there? Emptying from vessel to vessel. Is that not a heavenly grace? Or will you throw yourself overboard? Or will you let go of your own life? No, it is a heavenly grace to be emptied, to be stripped. Heavenly graces. What is a heavenly grace? When the Lord opens his word. Or not. Or can you open it yourself? People of the Lord. When it is closed, where is your power? Or is that not a heavenly grace? And what does it say? That he is pouring them out. And is that not then your experience? When the Lord will open that word a little bit. And when the Lord will reveal just the smallest part of what free and sovereign grace is to the greatest, to the chiefest of the sinners, then is it not a pouring forth of heavenly graces? When he is pouring forth water upon him that is thirsty, and when he is pouring out floods upon that dry ground? Oh, is that not a heavenly grace? When he is manifesting himself as the way and the truth and the life unto those who are so lost that they cannot find the way. Oh, is that not a heavenly grace? When he reveals himself, when he says, I am the door to a people who cannot find a way to come back unto God anymore. Is that not a heavenly grace? When he is declaring free and sovereign mercy to those who are publicans and sinners. And when he is preaching the gospel to the poor and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Heavenly graces poured out from heaven. Heavenly graces to the guilty. My son, be of good cheer. Thy sins and they are forgiven thee. Heavenly graces to those who are so fearful. And when the Lord says, it is I,
Be not afraid. Heavenly graces to those who are lying upon the bed of slothfulness and who have no desire to raise themselves up again, to seek after that beloved who is knocking open unto me. Oh, heavenly grace, when he is putting in his hand at the hole of the door and is leaving behind a little of that sweet-smelling myrrh, and that their heart may break, and that it may melt, and that they may be drawn out to him again. And then that by his power, he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Oh, the church has enemies. They are to hate no one, but they are a hated people. Paul says we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. There is an enemy in the world, and that enemy manifests himself when their life and their conversation is a testimony against the sin of the world. Is that true, people of the Lord? Is your life, is your word condemning the world? When it does not, then the world has no difficulty with us, and we can live peaceably in this world. But when it will be a testimony, then we can be sure that we will have tribulation and persecution in this world. And not only in the world, no, also in that visible church. What does the Lord Jesus say of how Satan is going to be so busy? A man's enemies, they will be those of his own household. Hagar's, what did she do, boys and girls? She was a servant, and then very meek. And then she received a child, fruit, and then she made fun of Sarah, who is barren. We hope you don't do that. But so is the persecution in the church of God by those who have it, by those who are strong, by those who are lifted up and never broken down in themselves, and they are looking down on that afflicted and poor remnant of the Lord. What do we read? By his power, he defends and preserves us against all enemies. The gates of hell will not prevail against them. Why not? Because the government is upon the shoulders of this king. And a government that does not lie in the hand of the devil. Sometimes it seems just the opposite. Asaph said, I see the wicked prosper. He could not understand it. But Christ, he is sitting. He is sitting at the right hand of God. And that for the sake of his church. For the sake of a church that is in this world in the midst of all their enemies. Sitting there, why? That they might not touch the apple of his eye. Lay not your hand upon him. You can take all his goods away, but don't touch him. And then he cannot touch. In all their trials, in all the tribulations, afflictions, to give his angels charge over them. In their temptations, what does he say? I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. That he keeps them, not always from falling, but he keeps them from falling away. In the warfare, he sits to do what? To teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight in that warfare against sin. Do you think, people of the Lord,
it will gain the preeminence. It will have dominion. It will bring me into everlasting perdition. No. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let us sing. 414. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes, who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they, and that rise to my dismay, and day by day distress me. Though heavy my despair, they scornfully declare to my humiliation, that thou, O God, no more canst help me as before, or come to my salvation. Let us sing just stanza 1 and 2. 1 and 2 of stanza 414. what comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, and with uplifted head I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. That is our third thought. That is, as judge of his church. Thus, he not only sits at the right hand of God, but he is coming, we read, to judge the quick and the dead. Congregation, is that not fearful? And why is that fearful? Because we have guilt upon our conscience. And when we have to appear before a judge, and when we know that we are guilty, then we are afraid, because it will be a lawful sentence. And when we know what we deserve, and when we know that that judge can only do what is right, then there can be no other way for us but that we have to be punished. But now, what do our instructors speak about here? They speak about his coming as a comfort. And now, to whom is it a comfort to stand before their judge? It is a comfort to those who are righteous in their cause. It is a comfort to those who are the ones who are being mistreated, to those who have enemies, and these enemies, they are wickedly abusing them, and they have no power against all of these enemies. Then they are looking for judgment. They are waiting. They are longing for that time, and that the judge may deliver a righteous sentence, and that they may be delivered from all of their enemies. How was that with that widow? She came before an unjust judge, but she was longing to come into the judgment. And why? Because her cause was right and good. Avenge me of mine adversary. And now, what do we read here? That in all my sorrows and persecutions, that is the portion, that is the lot of that true church here in this life, more or less. And it is these sorrows and these persecutions, and that are more and more making that church to desire to come to stand before that judge. Sorrows. Sorrows, why? Sorrow because of self. Sorrow because of that remaining inward corruption. Sorrow because of the disappointments, that they are not able to live up to that desire that is laying in their heart, that they become weary of their life. Sorrows and persecutions, outward persecutions, inward persecutions. The devil, Satan, cannot deliver themselves against that great company that is coming against them. And more waiting, longing for that judge, a righteous judgment. Does that mean they can stand in that judgment themselves? No. Does that mean they have no sin? No. Does that mean they can answer all the questions which the Lord could lay against them? No. How is it then? How is it then that they can long to come and to stand in that judgment. Well, listen to what our instructors are saying. That with uplifted head I look for the very same person who offered himself for my sake. Thus, congregation, they are looking for someone that they know. He is not a stranger to them. And the person that they know, he is the judge. Thus, it is not with these people presumption. How may they know that person? Because that person has revealed himself to their soul. Because that person has spoken unto them. Because that person has given to them in all their wretchedness, misery, sorrow, disappointment, a promise from himself. And so they are not a stranger to him that is sitting on the right hand of God and who is going to come again to judge the quick and the dead. And therefore we read with uplifted head. That is understandable. For those who are in sorrow and persecution and who are looking for that judge, a home they know, that is a comfort. They have an expectation. Congregation, is that so also with us? What are they expecting? They are expecting the destruction of every single one of their enemies. How is that possible? Because their enemies, they are the same as the Lord's enemies. It says, his and my enemies. That is one. Before they were converted, they were enemies of God themselves. But now everything that is at enmity to God has also become their enemy. Has that also become your enemy? Sin, worldliness, corruption. His and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. Thus, from sorrow and persecution to heavenly joys and glory in one moment. When he comes, and when that cry is going out, the bridegroom cometh, go ye forth to meet him. O congregation, what can be a greater matter for you and for me? When we have to stand there, than that you and I may know that judge. And not only to know him, but that he has spoken to us. That we may have a word from him. Because every one of us, none excluded, have to stand there. Ye shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Hereafter, ye shall see the Son of Man coming in power and great glory in the clouds of heaven. Will it be for us a terror? Or is it going to be for us what our instructors say here, actually a comfort? When we are presumptuous, when we have taken it unto ourselves, we are going to be terrified. But the fearful are going to be comforted? Is it going to be a judgment? Or is it going to be for us a deliverance? Are we going to stand on the side of the persecutors? Or are we going to stand on the side of the persecuted? Are we going to stand on the side of the haters? Or are we going to stand on the side of the hated? Are we going to stand on the side of the strong? Or are we going to stand on the side of the helpless ones? Is it going to be for us a loss? Or is it going to be for us a gain? The possessors are going to lose, but the missers, congregation, they are going to gain. The abased are going to be lifted up, but the proud and self-exalted, they are going to be made low. The full are going to be made empty, and the empty ones are going to be made full. Oh, there is going to be two sides of this. There are those that are going to sink away, and that He would ever bring such a one as myself into that place. Because of the knowledge of myself, when saw we thee and hungered and gave thee meat, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee in a sick or in prison and visited thee? Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That is the one side. In utter expectation, because of that self-knowledge, to be cast away. And then the other side. Awful, awful. Oh, when saw we thee and hungered athirst? When saw we thee sick and in prison? When saw we thee naked, a stranger, and did not minister unto thee? Oh, that self works. And then to hear at that closed door, closed forever, I know you not. O congregation, the Lord teach us to die before that we have to die. Oh, there is but one thing. There is one preparation that we need to stand before our judge. What do we hear the apostle say? The apostle, he says that we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we beseech you in Christ that be ye reconciled unto God. For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ. Amen. O Lord of heaven and earth, Thou who wilt come to judge us and our children, Lord, we have no impression. We can try to speak. We can try to listen, all of us. But we have no impression. We go forth from this place still thinking to live. No expectation in this beautiful Sabbath day that we may hear yet a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye forth to meet him. O Lord, we beseech thee, have mercy upon us. Prepare us to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. And give us new hearts, new life this day. Bring us safely home. Forgive our many sins. Give us a desire, the ability to be together further in this day. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. 139, stanzas 3 through 6, our God shall surely come, nor silent shall he keep. Devouring fire shall herald him, about him storms shall sweep. 3 through 6 of Psalter 139.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.